before, the intermediaries used to come to the farm and take our gold, because that's what coffee, the green coffee, is called gold. Now I don't need to call it gold. I just call it my sats, because each bean inside the bag, it's kind of our function of the time plus energy plus our proof of work. When I see other people buying coffee, packaging it, it kind of reminds me of a proof of stake.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedman, and our guest today is Jorge Cruz, who runs Chirito Cafe in El Salvador. We're going to be talking about his coffee business that goes back three generations, as well as how he's beginning to sell coffee more and more for Bitcoin. And we're going to get to that interview right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the six ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Jorge, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Sure. Yeah.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
Well, the first time it was around 2016. Lots of colleagues and friends were talking about it. As a normal individual, I just kind of like didn't. I just said I didn't have time. I was really busy, kind of like the day-to-day activities, family, work, and time on as an adverse day of a daily custom. So you're kind of like trying to make your way home, and you just don't have time to learn about it. So yeah, it was around early 2016, I would say.
And what was it that kind of changed your mind to where you decided that it was worth paying attention to, despite your busy life?
Well, yeah, I mean, there were various routes, like branches in a tree that kind of like take you in that path. As I mentioned, 2016, I was even invited by an uncle he has family in Sacramento, California, and he said that it would be very good for me to learn, and he talked with me about it, but I just didn't see any. I just thought it was more like some digital games and online casinos and trying to fight in the agricultural, all the battles that we endure on a daily basis. It was hard. So my father, who just passed away a year ago, was the one who first introduced me also to the Kaiser Report in Espanol. It was the Kaiser Report in Espanol that kind of like he would call me. He's like, "Hey, watch this program." And I was like, I just got home. I was like, but he wasn't really like telling me because of the Bitcoin per se, but it was more like on the other messages that were behind the underlying messages about the fiat system and everything that we as farmers we fight against as commodity traders. So not traders as merchants, but being in the productivity on a bottoms up approach. So my father was the one who kind of like guided me to the Kaiser Report in Espanol. Then all this time I was just through coffee, like I always say, coffee is like cash. It goes from hand to hand. If at the end of the harvest, like right now, I still have a stock, I have a good stock in my storage facility. There's other roasters like calling in because they're out of coffee, so I would be able to manage how I would get compensated and the price. And so I was always trying to streamline the process and involve myself in direct trade, a genuine direct trade with. From farm to roaster, and So later on, back around late 20, like around 2019, a friend and myself in El Zonte in Bitcoin Beach, we opened an espresso bar, you know, just kind of like a place that would be disconnected, a place where I could go on the weekends, disconnect from everything and get some of our fine cups of coffee to the tourists and locals that would go to El Zonte. And that's how that was like the third time it kind of hit me. because of Bitcoin, a lot of tourists were coming in, and back then there was no internet. Like there was almost no internet connection in El Zonte. So at Cafe, back then it was called Cafe Cocoa. That's when the Bitcoin Beach folks, Hope House, came and asked us if we were interested in having the first Bitcoin ATM, and if we were interested in learning more about it. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'm always open to learning. And when they said Bitcoin, I was like, okay, this is the third shot I get at this thing. What is Bitcoin? And they connected the internet. And I kind of like didn't want internet there because I wanted people to have conversations, have a good coffee, and check out some surf videos, and have conversations, be disconnected from their tablets or their phones. And But then after they explained to us about the genuine peer-to-peer electronic cash, and then I started that made music in my ears when I heard about the peer-to-peer, which is kind of what I wanted to do. But with the lack of technology, it's been hard for me because nobody's going to go to Western Union and buy our coffee elsewhere. So I kind of like by late October, not late 2019, early 2020, right before the lockdowns, that's when the plans unfolded, and the first Bitcoin ATM was set up in El Zonte at Cocoa, at Cafe Cocoa in El Zonte, which is I was one of the partners there.
Now, question number two, you may have already sort of forecasted your answer here, but question number two is, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
So it's important when I have conversations over coffee with people that are normies or new to this, is that they understand that it's not something to speculate or that you're going to get rich. So the first thing I tell them is that, kind of like what our president did, the moment in 2021 when he went up there and at the Bitcoin conference, and weeks later it was all over here with our Congress ratifying Bitcoin being legal tender. It's that pretty much it's a way for if it's a president, he's taking his power that's given to him and he's giving it back to the people without forcing anybody to use it. That's one thing. So if a president can do it and he's at the top of the food chain, I guess, anybody, it's a real genuine democratic lifestyle. I think it's one of the things, the messages that I wanna get there across. So I think Bitcoin for me represents giving power like to the people to allow them to do what's best as they see fit. Mm-hmm. Education comes with it.
Question number three, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Well, literature. There are lots of books. There's very good, great podcasts, such as what we're conducting here. I think everybody has a great story. So I think a resource for Bitcoin, I guess, podcasts. I every time I'm driving, I'm always driving at least 4 or 5 days a week to the farm. There's traffic in El Salvador, as you know. And so, yeah, I think the podcasts are a way for one to get more knowledge and then ask the right questions, attend. So, yeah, I think literature as well. We participate at a Bitcoin farmers market, so I'm happy to always... when I can get a book or two, so and I need to get more. So the more you become immersed in it, the more eye-opening it is. And I think I'm old style as well too. So books are a means.
Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your business recently?
Beyond Bitcoin, the tools that the technology on the Bitcoin chain for us and in our project has been instrumental, because the Lightning network allows us to kind of like beat out other point of sale systems. So for us, it has been instrumental as a producer. For all this time, I was able to conceptualize an idea of where we could, if retailers were able to use Bitcoin for purchases, and then immediately from our node, we could distribute some sats to our farmers who also participate with us. That's where we are right now. I mean, I think it's still early, but I think it's the tools that that Bitcoin allows us to be able to use. You cannot do that with American Express or Visa, MasterCard, or fiat cash when you make a payment. So I think those are some of the tools, such as Lightning and other technologies that are there.
Now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
It's a general life. Why, I would say. It's a motto. Everything has to kind of like the conversations or instructions always are followed by a why to kind of deep dive into or have a more profound approach into certain topics or things that arise on a daily basis. So yes.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth. Wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, Jorge, today we're here to talk about your work with coffee and accepting Bitcoin for your coffee. You've already shared with us a little bit about one of your projects in El Zante, but if you would just share with us about what you're doing. Primarily, is it selling coffee, or like selling coffee beans, or is it selling the drink that we all know and love? What are you doing? And then we can talk a little bit about how you've been incorporating Bitcoin into that.
Okay, so it's very complex. Coffee is a very noble cultivar, And after water is the most consumed product or good that exists. Coffee, even I was, like I mentioned, I was just in Germany, and I think the statistics just show that coffee just, you know, people are consuming more coffee than beer now. So it's, I think it was great for me to be there. It's exciting times. So I am, first and foremost, I'm a coffee producer. My family, I would say I'm a third generation. Coffee runs through my blood. And I came back to El Salvador. I am one of the people who had the privilege to study abroad. That's where, you know, I learned English, had the chance to work overseas prior to relocating back to El Salvador when things were even worse than when we had the civil war back in the 80s. So when I came back around 2011, I mean, this country was it wasn't even going backwards. It was actually sinking. It was sunk, which is worse. And there was terror everywhere. And, you know, we were always concerned more or less because of our workers. We lack financing. So as farmers, you know, you have to be creative in terms of like how you're able to work. I felt the injustice of what financial instruments that were created and consider commodities, what they do to our countries. And this is where Bitcoin solves things, because in El Salvador, now that it's a legal tender, you're able to see other Salvadorians coming to invest in El Salvador and immerse themselves in what's happening here, because they're coming from other developed countries, and they're seeing what's happening. There's a pattern, and Bitcoin it's going to allow us to year over year less and less migration is going to happen. And as a coffee farmer, seeing all the unjust, we get 3 cents for every dollar. For every cup of coffee that's consumed, whether you're in Mississippi or whether you're in Europe, and we get it 10 months later. So that is fundamental, because it can break, it can take anybody to a technical bankruptcy, literally. And on top of that, manipulations of the commodity price on New York Stock Exchange is just unfair. So for me, it was with Bitcoin. And doing the direct trade from farm to table, value for value, and get paid in Bitcoin, whether you're in Mississippi or whether you're in Sweden, and being able to roast those fresh single origin coffees that we produce and ship it to you and have it in your door within 4 to 5 business days. For me, it's the future, and this and for me, it's exciting. So I am, as I mentioned, the coffee industry is very mobile, but it's very complex. So in order to be ready to prepare myself for this, I had to literally vertically integrate our company and have little pieces as a farmer, another piece as a miller, exporter, roaster, have a strategic partnerships with people in Germany where we can have a storage facility, and the same thing in the US. So that allows us to kind of make the world smaller in order to be able to use this Lightning network and enable payments, get our Satoshi specialty series of coffees delivered door to door. And within 7 days a week, it's amazing. I can be on the farm on a Sunday and get paid immediately. Monday we deliver the coffees. So I think it's great that we're able to eliminate financial and commercial intermediaries, because before, the intermediaries used to come to the farm and take our gold, because that's what coffee, the green coffee, is called gold. Now I don't need to call it gold. I just call it my sats. Those are my satoshis, because each bean inside the bag is it's kind of our function of the time plus energy plus our proof of work. Mm. So That's I think it's our summary. When I see other people just buying coffee, packaging it, it kind of reminds me of a proof of stake rather than the proof of work, because all the risk right now, you can hear the storms that are coming through Central America. Too much rain can impact heavily on our future harvest, next year's harvest. Too much sun and a drought also gives us a negative impact. Back when we had the gangs, we have to pay rent, we have to pay in order to go harvest. Migration, lack of there's no, for me, there's no climate change. I think the more threat on agriculture is going to be the migration patterns. But I think when you just bag up a coffee and label it, and you're not really the farmer, and you're not really distributing the sats, and you're not really orange peeling the whole value chain, all your partners, even the persons who give you, bring the water for our Cherito coffee truck, and we pay them in Bitcoin. I think it's just a proof of stake. You know, they're staking on everybody's work. You know, so it's, I think this is where Bitcoin is very just for everybody.
So there are a couple things based off of what you said I want to follow up on. Earlier you had talked, I think you had said that you're coming down to the end of the coffee season, and you've just been talking about how there's been a lot of rain there recently. How has the coffee been this year? Have you had a good crop? Are things looking good despite the rain, or are things difficult because of the rain right now?
Well, our harvest, our 2023-2024 harvest was completed around late March, early April. Then we go into the process of quality control, where we taste all the different lots, kind of always showcase the championship coffees, the high quality, which is what I try to keep as our reserve. And then, as I just mentioned, I was in Copenhagen at the World of Coffee and visiting some buyers in Germany who are, we engage in direct trade relationships. This is the season of exporting. But in the meantime, we're looking for the after the first rains, the coffee blossoms are the ones who are going to be next year's harvest. So too much rain in a small amount of period of time can be very, very, have a negative impact. Then if it stops raining for a period of days, then we have to worry about diseases and plagues. So what we do is, about 8 years ago, my father introduced, along with our agronomist, we surrounded ourselves with the most knowledgeable individuals with experience in organic and biodynamic. So what we do is our approach is ancestral approach, such as what our ancestors did, the Mayans, with a biodynamic approach of agroecology. So what we do is we try to just eliminate all agrochemicals so we don't have to have an impact, such as if it's too cold or if it's too hot or if it's too much rain. Kind of like what our purpose is, to make that plant, the coffee plant, very strong, so that it can withstand all the adversity in with the climates. So for us, whenever I go to the farm, I am happy that year over year we minimize all the plagues and diseases, and we just had a record harvest this past year, which is, we're thankful, and the quality, we're improving it. So all this has been. Achievable thanks to, you know, the teamwork, everybody motivated. And also because, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but we were so happy to find Bitcoin community partners, investors that have allowed us to finance our operations. So that way we don't have to depend on banks, or not even banks, because we're unbankable. We're talking about loan sharks who we used to pay high double-digit interest rates. And now we're able to work with the Bitcoin community. And that's what I call the granular or the circular economy. So we're able to get those harvests in the best manner possible and finance on the Bitcoin standard. Mm.
That's great. Another question I had was these partners you've been talking about, for instance, the ones in Germany, maybe not them specifically even, but just broadly speaking, do the larger partners you're working with, are they willing to accept Bitcoin, or is it primarily just the peer-to-peer direct-to-consumer payments that are Bitcoin?
Okay, so we have different channels of clients. Our bread and butter is export green coffee to roasters who buy kind of bulk, higher volume. They're micro roasters. They're not too big. I've been trying to orange pill them, just like I've been trying to orange pill our producers, because I also represent a consortium of small and medium-sized producers that we make up 25 farmers. Some of them are in the process of getting orange pill when they saw what our technology is able to do, which is distribute sats to their phone. The more they get, the more they call and they ask the right questions. So that's one side of the sphere that we're orange pilling our producers. Then up the chain, we're orange pilling our customers, so that way we're able to not just sell bags of coffee for households in Bitcoin, but also the business to business channel. So far, out of like dozens of clients, I was able to get my very first, actually two. One was just a regular guy who out of Portugal, right, lives in Germany, had us ship like 100 kilos of coffee, paid in Bitcoin. And he wanted his stamp. He wanted everything, even the Lightning address. The on-chain address, so he could say that he was the first one. But up until back in May, we just had our first business-to-business transaction. It was a U.S. roaster out of Washington, D.C., who purchased 1,500 pounds of coffee. And so I think they're going to be selling some of those coffees at the Bitcoin conference coming up. I'm not sure, but yeah, I will be there also selling our Satoshi series of coffees. And so I think it's interesting, because if we're early in this, I am confident that other countries, farmers and other industries will follow.
I'm glad to hear that. And I'm surprised to hear that there are more people who are willing to interact with you in Bitcoin. Do you see that as a trend change? Or did you just happen to run across people who are already Bitcoiners who are ready to pay you Bitcoin for your coffee?
Yeah, I mean, in this case, like I mentioned, the business-to-business channel, they circled back with me, because 2 years ago, I was telling them about what we were already doing. I think social media has a profound role, because people sometimes put up pictures. Oh, I just thank you, Charito. I just got my bag, and I think it's for me. It's gonna accelerate faster when we also educate the consumers. Because if a small business like myself, for example, and when I say myself, is because I represent a consortium of other farmers. I mean, we could sell more coffee and not have to sell green coffee anymore. I mean, if 1% of Bitcoiners decided to just stop going to Whole Foods, or stop going to Safeway, stop going to other middlemen and pay fiat, and we were able to just give them not just coffee, but if you go to our website, we have honey, we have cacao, I mean, chocolate. Speaking of which, cacao was our very first medium of exchange here in El Salvador. not El Salvador, it wasn't even a country. I'm talking about Mesoamerica. And this is the cradle of chocolate. So yeah, I think the more consumers, if you consume 2, 3, 4 bags a month, or gifts to friends and family, neighbors, to orange peel them, because coffee has been very good to orange peel people, because when good coffee is on the table, people bring their guards down, so they're willing to listen. And I've been fortunate to have that. It will be able to orange peel people. So if the consumer behavior in developed markets, and we shift away from the typical fiat where all the financial and commercial intermediaries exist. And instead of going there to buy a shit coffee, like shitcoin, and they buy directly from the source and pay in Bitcoin, what can be better than that? Because that means we will be able to have more work, get compensated better. That means less farmers are going to migrate to the U.S. or to Canada or other places, because people don't actually want to leave. We want to work. So the more we're able to get that compensation in real time, instead of waiting for 3 cents for every cup of coffee and we get it 10 months later, I think it's going to revolutionize and accelerate rapidly adoption. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear that. I'm excited to hear, once again, that people are willing to pay you Bitcoin for your coffee beans. And it'll be great to see that happen more and more. Where can people go to purchase, either online or maybe if they're going to be at the Bitcoin conference, how can they connect with you and make sure they get some coffee for themselves?
Well, I'm happy to announce as Charito Cafe, we will be part of the ASO Bitcoin, the Bitcoin Association here in El Salvador. We're going to be part of the booth, the El Salvador booth. We're going to be next to other founders from other local companies, education. I think last year, we were next to my first Bitcoin. K1 and other members of the association will be present as well. Athena, so I think it's a great mixture of businesses as well as organizations around Bitcoin that we tell everybody that comes to the booth, give them our experience, kind of like and invite everybody to come to El Salvador as well. So we're also like ambassadors in a way. Showcasing what are also the technology. When people purchase our bags, we'll be able to show them how the farmer that moment is getting in the other part of the world, getting some sats in their royalties on their phone. So I think it's going to be exciting. So we're going to be there. I'm on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Charito Cafe. On Instagram, we're at charitocafe.sv. I will provide you with those links. We have our website is through tierrabendita.net. You can see other products, not just coffee. You can pay with Bitcoin as well. And if you pay with fiat, a credit card, we increase the price. So it's kind of like what we want to showcase. Here in El Salvador, when people come to our barista and they ask for a cappuccino or Americano or buy bags of coffee, he tells them, if you pay with Bitcoin, you'll get a discount. So kind of like motivate them, try to get more tickets at the end of the day that are for we run our own statistics. So some days are 4 out of 10 tickets are paid in Lightning. So wow. And great. Not just foreign nationals, but also locals. So
that's really cool to hear. Well, we'll definitely send people to some of those links in the show notes. Are there any final thoughts that you have today before we finish up today's interview?
Final thoughts? Thank you for your time and everybody listening to this. We're happy to answer any questions, and we welcome you to El Salvador. I mean, I think what I sell before coffee is our country. So I make sure that everybody wants to, I want everybody with the motto, don't trust, verify. So come to El Salvador, see what it's about. Just like with coffee, it's like I always say, don't trust, verify. If somebody selling a $6 bag of coffee, I wouldn't even get near it, in the sense that because you know what coffee, the real price of it is. So it's and sometimes like the bad stuff is what's put into the bag. So that's why you always have to you have to verify. So yeah, I think thank you and for your time and happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, Jorge, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Jorge, you can find those links down in the show notes. And if you're looking to support some local farmers and get some great coffee, check out Charito Cafe. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.